No, this white shirt, it's not white. That's not the same as the one I had before. The one that glowed like Benny Hinn. No. Like the brightness of the noonday sun. This has stripes on it. I see you can't really see them, can you? The contrast is kind of whacked out. But it's a different shirt. See, I got this low-cut thing here. Well, I just don't have a button up here. That's the only problem. Hey, everybody, Martin Zender. Avoiding the church bells today, or the ice cream truck, whatever it was the church bells. And we are looking past it, looking through it, looking around it, and realizing that we're not going to fall for any of the false fronts, but I am going to sneeze. Why does this happen? Excuse me. Why does this happen when I start my show? It used to be my nose itch. Now I sneeze. We're not going to fall for this false front stuff. We're going to look past it. We're not going to. It's so typical of Christianity to look at the beauty and the music and the chimes and the incense and to think it's all beautiful and not see the evil lurking behind the classic whitewashed wall. On the other hand, Christianity will call evil what God calls good. They'll take things like sex and alcohol and they will say evil, evil. And yet God says it's good. So they are so turned around. And even the locusts, when we see the locusts, we tend to stop there and say, God's a tormentor. Today, I'm going to contrast for you with locusts from eternal torment. Oh boy, can't wait to do that. But look, when these locusts are afield, what escape is possible from them? They're swarming, they have tails like scorpions, they have wings, they're under the direction not of Steven Spielberg, but of Apollyon, whose name means destruction. He's a supernatural being. He's going to get the job done. And these hordes of locusts will get the job done. And they sink their stings, their tails, into every human being who is not sealed with the divine seal. And it's no wonder that, just when I talk about my nose not itching, it does. And it's no wonder that in those days, people will seek death, but they will not find it because they are meant to suffer. And if you die, you don't suffer. That's a point I'm going to make with eternal torment here. So it's very painful, but it's not fatal. They don't kill you. You wish they killed you, but they don't. But under this trumpet, humans are denied even the respite of death. But in Christianity, death is not a respite, is it? No, if you don't have the seal of God and these people getting eaten, stung, not eaten, that was me, stung by the scorpions, death would be a respite to them. This makes no sense under the common Christian misconception of eternal torment. Gonna get to that soon. But there seems to be a contrast, some similarities, but then a departure between these supernatural locusts and the cherubim. They're all animals, right? They're animals. Look at this similarity. Both animals are composites. Remember the cherubim? They were a composite of a bull, a vulture, a man, and a lion. And the locusts are also composite. They have horse-like characteristics, like a horse made ready for battle. They have lion-like characteristics. They fly like vultures. And they have the face of Phyllis Diller. Now, here's the contrast. From the wild beasts, both use the lion. One of the cherubim has a face of a lion, but the locusts have merely the teeth of a lion. From the domestic animals, the cherubim, one of them has a face like a bull. From the domestic animals in the locust department, we have a horse. But they're both domesticated animals. And they both have the face of a human. One has hair, like Cindy Crawford. The other, I know I'm dating myself, I don't care. No hair on the cherubim that we're noted of. And why do the locusts have hair? I don't know. Probably to make them scary. If you want to make a locust scary, add hair, like the hair of a woman. It's just flowing and creepy. Oh boy, I'm trying to think of a comparison. Who has long hair in the human realm that's really creepy? Ooh, I just thought of somebody, but you might know him, so I'm not going to mention his name. Oh, God, I'm terrible. Okay, for the vulture, the face of the vulture, one of the cherubim, he flies high nobly to meet the sun. True, he eats carcasses, but let's ignore that for a second. He's noble. On the other hand, these locusts, their one quest and lust is death and destruction, devastation and ruin. And, well, that's not a surprise when their leader, his name, Apollyon, means destruction. From whole, loosing are the elements there in the English. Now, this destruction is in contrast to the cherubim who sit near the throne of God, attend to the throne of God. God is sovereign, and he is, listen, ultimately God, a good God and a merciful God. That's his essence. This is just a manifestation of his discipline. Now, God is, according to the Christians, God is supposed to be an eternal tormentor. He's supposed to torment most of humanity for eternity. That's the advertisement. That's their advertisement copy. That's what they greet you with. We have an eternal torment God. They don't do that anymore. They used to with their tracks. They hand you one of those chick tracks, and the first thing you see is some picture of a guy in flames, and they want to warn you. And the hardcores will still warn you about eternal torment. But look how contrary this woe is. And this is a woe trumpet. This is bad, bad, bad. But look how contrary this is. Look how merciful this is compared to eternal torment. It's torment. That's the only common denominator here. But this is where the differences start. It is limited in time, and it's confined to the living. It's limited in time. And I would invite you with open arms, red carpet, to consider the difference between 5 months and eternity. Between 5 months and eternity. 5 months is careful. It's a surgical strike. It's decided ahead of time to be 5 months, because that's all that's needed. Contrast that with eternal torment. No human being can even fathom what timelessness is. And we all know what it feels like to burn our hands. We put it on a stove, or you accidentally touch it with a match. You walk on a hot sidewalk or on the hot sand. You go, oh, I got to get out of here. Yeah, how would you like to not get out of there? How would you like to be there for 5 months? 5 months of torment would be insane. 5 months of the eternal torment in flames. I mean, we're seeing torment with the locust, but it's a sting, and it hurts, but it's not burning in flame as Jonathan Edwards gruesomely and stupidly and unspiritually described as, like, hot molten lava going through your veins. Horrible. Are you kidding me? You call this guy a man of God? He's a messenger of Satan. And anybody who teaches this is a messenger of Satan. I don't care how nice they look. I don't care if they're your neighbor who is the pastor at the First Congregational Church of God. They're messengers of Satan. And from the popular viewpoint, these locusts can't be understood, because why would people seek release from this temporal torment, i.e. the locust, if it only led to eternal torment? Oh, we need to get out. We want to be delivered from these locusts. Remember, these people don't have the seal of God. They're not sealed. They belong to the Antichrist. So they're wanting to be delivered so that they can go to death. But according to Christians, death is eternal torment. So nobody in their right mind is going to say, I want to be delivered from these things so that I can go into a furnace of flame where molten lava goes through my large ventricle and my liver. Come on. It's so inconsistent. It doesn't make any sense. And this, why keep these people from dying? And God is purposely, or Apollyon, through the authority of God, is purposely keeping these people from dying so that they can suffer the torment, because it's purposeful. It's not insane. It's purposeful torment. Why do that if death is no escape? Death is an escape, though. Death is an escape. But that's not the case in the Christian viewpoint. So this makes no sense according to the Christian viewpoint. Death for these locust-tormented people would be an escape. It would be a cessation of their suffering. And that's exactly what death is. It's a cessation. It's not a deliverance either to heaven or to hell. Because the resurrection is yet future, so there's no one in heaven. And the torment of so-called Christian hell is a fallacy. It is a myth. It's a hoax. It's based on poor translations of the Bible. This translation of the word ion, King James makes that eternity. It doesn't mean that. It's a period of time. Judgment is a period of time. We're seeing a perfect example of that in the locusts. 5 months, it's a period of time. And again, contrast that with eternity if you can, but you can't. Because there is no correspondence between time and eternity. They're opposites. I told you how I begin my lecture on the eons. I ask people, who thinks eternity is a long time? Raise your hand. Everybody raises their hand. I say, no, you're wrong. Sit down. Be quiet. Listen to me. It's not a long time. Eternity has nothing to do with time. So as terrible as this scene in the unveiling is, and many Christians will say, oh, we have to allegorize this. We have to make this a metaphor because God just wouldn't send these terrible locusts to people. As terrible as that is, it's mild compared to the caricature of God that Christianity has foisted upon the world through their false renderings of Scripture and their evil minds that seek destruction and death and torment on their enemies. That's what they would do to their enemies. You really look, you really see into somebody's heart. Someone opens his or her heart when they tell you that they believe in eternal torment. That exposes them. They don't know what spirit they're of, do they? They would torment their enemies. So why should they be surprised if God torments theirs? His. These locusts can be grasped. This is reasonable. And I've often said that God is reasonable. And if we were to present people the true God and say, look, if you can reject the Son of God, and I know God is above all this, he's doing everything, but this is the relative viewpoint. You're going to miss these two eons. You don't want to miss these great eons. Right, so even the eons, like 5 months, are a period of time. They're longer than 5 months, but the common denominator between the two oncoming eons and the 5 months that humanity is tormented by these locusts, the common denominator is these are both periods of time. And I've told you how useless the mother's threat is to a child when she says, you know, if you disobey me, I'm going to send you to your room forever. It's just something she can't do. It's ridiculous, these crazy, over-the-top hyperbole threats, and the kid laughs at them. It's a joke. That's why the world laughs at eternal torment. Deep down, the world knows it's a crock of crap, and they're not going to buy it. So they fly in the face of God, because it's a joke to them, and it is a joke. You see cartoons about it. Christians see cartoons about hell, and they go, how can those people make fun of hell? Because it's not true, you morons. And the world knows it, and they laugh their asses off at it because it's a joke. And you're like, oh, they're going to go to hell because they make fun of hell. Oh, my God. If there was a hell, you would go to it, Christian people, because your heart is hard, and you don't know the true God. But when we tell people about the true God and say, hey, you might miss a couple eons. You don't want to miss a couple eons, do you? That sounds reasonable and rational. People go, yeah, no, I don't, really. So, you know. And then we present to them that Jesus Christ saved them at the cross. What's your response to that? That's the gospel. What's your response to this good news? You know? And if God puts it on, if God has appointed them beforehand, then they believe it. And they enjoy the aeonian life that comes to believers. God is the Savior of all humanity, especially of believers. Let God be true, yet every man a liar.